Welcome everybody to the CNA Instructor's Secret Cocktail. I am your pusher, Victoria Randall, and I'm super excited because today I will be interviewing Vicky Castillo. Vicky Castillo is a registered nurse who also holds a master's degree in nursing education. She owns Fawcett Healthcare, which is a company that basically houses all types of information that individuals who have CNA schools need to help their CNA students out. Those resources also include test banks, they include skills videos, they include a multitude of things that an individual would need as a CNA or as an instructor for instructor development to ensure that their CNAs pass through the program. And not only pass through the program, but also pass through the state exam. Passing the state exam is so important. You can have a CNA school, but if you do not have a pass rate that's good, that is, then what is the purpose of having the CNA school? Many people don't know this, but if your CNA school has a low or failing score, you actually end up getting sanctioned by the state and even would potentially have to close your school down if you cannot prove some type of plan stating that you have implemented techniques to ensure that your school is going to actually pass students. Because basically at the end of the day, if you're not passing students, then it looks like you're just taking people's money. You're putting them through a program and you're not actually helping them get what they need. So the purpose of the interview today is so that Vicky can provide you with all types of information that you would need to help ensure that you are getting people through the program and actually getting them to the CNA exam and allowing them to pass the CNA exam, okay? Or helping them pass the CNA exam. Hi, Vicky.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. So you guys,
I'm happy to be here.
So you guys, Vicky is super busy, but she is taking out time to speak with you guys today. So I'm so excited. Thank you, Vicky, for fitting us in.
Hi, everyone. Vicky Castillo here. Happy to be with you all. I am the founder of Fawcett Healthcare Training, and we are our CNA test prep. We're the only one in the state. In the country, actually, and currently we're in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Nevada, and we're looking to add Texas here in about another 3 more weeks and hopefully expand to all 50 states.
Yay! Yeah, I'm super excited. You guys, please follow Vicky on Instagram and Facebook. It's Fawcett Training, and she wrote her name. I'm here, so you'll see it in the chat. Just follow her when we're done with the chat, because I'm telling you, Vicky has great knowledge, and you get to watch her through her movement. She just got done filming the skills videos for Texas, right, Vicky?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome, awesome process. I kind of gave them an idea about your background, but I know I missed something because you're phenomenal. So if you can just give them a little bit about your background, what you've done in terms of working with CNAs as an instructor, and what type of numbers you have proven. This is your brag time, girl. Give it to us.
Thank you. Thank you for this time. I appreciate it, Victoria. And first and foremost, I'm just so happy to be partnering with Victoria. I just happened to have found your information on Instagram, and that's how we networked. And it just seems to be working so well. You add a wealth of knowledge to the CNA community, and I know we're all benefiting from that.
Thank you, Victoria, for this time.
I have been a nurse for 30 plus years, and the last 10 has been in CNA education. I have been a CNA program coordinator for about 10 years, and within that time, I practice in various roles as in CNA education in 4 different schools. So each time in those schools, I'm very proud to say, not braggadocious, but very happy to say that my pass rate was never less than 92%. I would say a minimum of 92% for all my schools, and pretty often I would get cohorts with 100% pass. The largest school that I was a CNA program coordinator was here in Arizona. We did about anywhere from 650 to over 700 students per year. And our pass rate consistently was in the upper 90s for both the written test and the skills test. It was a lot of work, but it was so worth it. And so when I left the school, one of the things that I kept hearing from the CNA community was, how can we increase our pass rate? And are there any skills videos or CNA test prep that's available out there? And after a lot of research, I realized that there wasn't. And I thought, why is it that there is a test prep for the RN NCLEX? Lots of them, Hearst, and I think it's ATI, and of course, Kaplan. And then that's also for the PN, also lots of test prep. But why not for CNA? And I thought, why is that the case? And I thought, why are we minimizing CNAs? For all of us that have worked in the healthcare field, we cannot work without CNAs. I still continue to practice. I've worked long-term care. I work the hospital. I work hospice. I work home health. And I just bow to my CNAs because I cannot do my work without them. So I made it a mission to help the CNA community in helping them to achieve their goals, whether that be to move on to nursing school and pass their CNA exam, or that be staying as a CNA, or whether that be taking care of their loved ones. Whatever their goal was, my mission was to help them in their endeavor. And so that's how I created this CNA test prep, because oftentimes I was finding that students were failing. And even in the few that failed in my courses, it was very painful. So I thought, what can I do to help facilitate them moving on to the next stage of their life? And so this was a dream become reality. It's been a lot of work, but it's been very, 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 very positive, and it's been very satisfying. And I'm getting a lot of positive feedback from the individuals that are using my products, because their pass rate, they're seeing it go up. One school in particular was down in the 60% percentile for the written and their skills test, and they have bumped it up to almost 90%. Well, they have five campuses, but they have bumped up to about 90%. They're using my product, and I'm so happy with them. I've touched base with them. I've been out to their campus, and it's been transformative for them as well. And of course, when the students themselves contact me and they tell me that they passed and how grateful they are for the product, it just fulfills a mission for me.
I think a lot of people in my seminar that I teach, I have a seminar where I teach people how to start CNA schools. And one of the main things I always tell them in the seminar is when you're developing your curriculum, it is very important that you are thinking about the state exam when you're putting together that curriculum. Because you as a nurse and I as a nurse, we know what CNAs need to have to be successful, but I don't know that we know what they need to have when it's time to pass the state exam. And so I try to talk to them about really thinking about the state exam when they're developing their curriculum. And can you talk a little bit about that, what you've learned from incorporating that and what you offer in terms of incorporating that when it comes to the curriculum and testing from a written perspective?
Sure. Well, one of the things is that I didn't realize how many, there's four different testing companies. There's Headmaster, Pearson VUE, ProMetric, and Blue Cross Blue Shield. And every state just
You
about
mean
has a
Red, the
different.
American Red Cross or Blue Cross Blue Shield does
Yeah.
it too?
I'm sorry, the American Red Cross, pardon me. Yes. And they all have different requirements. And even the same testing company can have a different test for a different test. So even though Pearson VUE might test 10 different states, they might have different test requirements for those 10 different states. So it's all different. They all have different skills. But the knowledge test appears to be pretty consistent among all the states. It's the, I believe, 10 or 12 categories. So those have been consistent throughout state, each state. And the other thing that I have learned as well, that the testing companies make the handbook available for the most part for the schools to help prepare the students. And they all have different pricing for testing. It always costs more money to test again when the students don't pass. And I think that the students being well prepared can avoid failing the test. I mean, I don't think it's ever possible to have 100% pass, but I do believe it is possible to improve our pass rates nationwide.
And so give them a snippet of why this is so important. I know you probably don't have the numbers right in front of you, but you and I did a webinar last month. And Vicky took the time out to really do some research. When I tell you this woman is the bomb, this woman is the bomb, guys. So she cares so much that she took her time to really look at the state of Arizona and the state of Nevada as a whole. And she just picked those two states out specifically because those are the ones she has worked the longest with. And she looked at those two states and said, okay, who's not passing and what type of repercussions is that causing the schools as well as the students? And the numbers that she came up with through her research, and no one is really looking at this, it was crazy. Vicky, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, not all the testing companies make numbers public. I think that needs to be public. I'm saddened that they don't make it public, but in specifically, the state of Arizona does make the pass rates public. And in Arizona in 2018, that's my state of residence, in 2018, the students that failed the state exam, either the written or the skills test total, those that did not pass, the amount of money that was spent was approximately $85,000. That was just for one state and for one year. Now, there was additional costs to that. I call it the cost of failure. There was additional cost to that because those students that did not pass the first time, there was additional money that they spent to retake the test. So that 85,000 was just the first attempt. What did they spend the second attempt? And cost that we don't consider sometimes is testing fees if they wanted to expedite the process. Also, other things like having to get extra babysitting, pay for a babysitter to test a next time, or driving time, or just there's so many costs that our students can incur. Maybe purchasing more tests from somewhere in order to strengthen their ability to pass the second time. And so I think that the 85,000 was just the basic number. It's probably close to maybe $100,000. And again, the states don't, the testing companies don't openly disclose that information, and kind of understandably so.
Yeah, because basically they're making a benefit off of students, regardless if the student passes or not. And that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I get it, right? It's not their fault that the student didn't pass the test, right? But they're making a profit regardless. Now, like you said, there's a cost of failure to the student because they have to repay and do it again. It's time and energy. But then there's also a cost of failure to the school, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It affects their bottom line because then they have a reputation for a low pass rate. And also, there's a cost to them in terms of instructor development. There's a cost to them in terms of learning how to better prepare the students. There's labor costs for for maybe helping to prepare the students again or tutoring students. So the costs are just really enormous as well. Cost of lack of enrollment, maybe because of the reputation to the school. Somebody who has another school that has a pass rate of maybe 90% is probably going to be more likely to get a student enrolled in a school that has a pass rate of 70%. And then there's also the cost of schools that can't maintain a certain pass rate. There is the regulating body will give them a deficiency, and then they have to spend lots of hours trying to correct those programs and submitting.
And we were talking about that while we were waiting for you to come on. And to your point, the state will come in and say, "Hey, your pass rates have not been sufficient. You need to come up with a plan of action." And your plan of action, like you said, to your point, takes time and energy. I mean, you're already running this business, right? You're already trying to teach and you're trying to enroll people and do all this. And now you have this enormous plan of action that you now have to write. And you have to bring someone in to help you write it because clearly you can't write it on your own because you're already not doing it right on your own, right?
And the other thing also is that the cost of starting a business, of starting a CNA school, nobody starts it with the intent to for it to dissolve or for the business to fail. So I think that's oftentimes overlooked on the end part of it is like, what do I need to ensure that my students are going to be successful? It's an underlying theme, but I think that sometimes the pass rate is overlooked.
No, it is. It's significantly overlooked. When people are starting a school, they're worried about how do I get my paperwork to pass, right? Or how do I find a building? Or where should I put my school? It's never, hey, once I get my school open, how can I ensure that my students are actually becoming CNAs? And I know in our heart, that's what we all want to do. But sometimes, to your point, that part is overlooked. So, Vicki, tell us a little bit about the skills offering that you have, as well as the exam prep that you have.
So I just wanted to add one extra point here is in Nevada, I also did evaluation of Nevada's what I call cost of failure, and theirs for the year of 2018 was about $65,000. So theirs just was the first time. So I would suspect that if we did more analysis, if the data was available, we would see, unfortunately, those numbers are even higher. So again, it's hard to know for sure, calculate because the data isn't necessarily all available.
Yeah, and we're talking about, and how many states are there? There are 50 states. So imagine that this is going on, let's say 100,000 per state, minimum, just funds being wasted and people's dreams being shattered because they're not prepared for the exam.
Right. And the other cost I failed to mention was, how about the cost of loss of income for the student when they can't, because they can't work, or the loss of the job also, because sometimes we know that, I know that my students have been told when I take them to clinicals, hey, when you get your CNA, come and apply. We'll hold the position for you. We'll hold on to it. And so the employer's waiting and waiting, and the student fails. Now the student can't. The employer ends up having to give that position to someone else. So as far as my CNA test prep, it consists of a knowledge test bank. And I wrote those test questions myself, and I had them vetted by another nurse. And those test questions are not questions that I have pulled from another publisher and dumped them on my website. I created them. It's very painstaking. If you've ever written test questions, you know it's very time consuming. And my test bank also consists of alternative format questions. Select all that apply, specifically fill in the blank. And why did I write, especially select all that apply test questions, is because it triggers the learner to think at a higher level than a basic multiple choice question. So I created them with that in mind. And I also know, and I also created the test bank in a way with alternative format questions, because I know that many of our CNA students are pre-nursing students or pre-medical of some type, and it's just a prelude for what they're going to see in nursing school, or if they're going on to medical school or some other medical profession. And that's why I did it as a preparation. But
You can never be over-prepared, okay?
exactly. So it's in all the, I think it's the 12 categories. It is. It's all in the 12 categories required by OBRA. And each one of those 12 categories has, let's see, about 12 questions, but then I also have version one and two. So I could tell you that I have over 300 questions in my test bank, and always developing more, always developing more. And as far as the
That's that. Hold on, I want to stop right there real quick. That's awesome, Vicky. And if I understand correctly, your exam questions, your test bank, they're not state specific, correct?
They're not state specific. They're not state
Okay.
specific. They're not.
But I'm sorry, Vicky, go ahead and tell us about the skills portion.
Yes. And then I also have other resources such as handouts for the students and for the trainer as well, for the instructional purposes. For example, I have found that students are very weak at this level in math generally, very weak in math. And so I created also a math test bank, because most states are testing students on math as well. Fluid intake, converting pounds to kilos, kilos to pounds, and this type of thing. How to convert military time to standard time, or standard time to military time. So I find that students are very weak in math, and so I have created a math test bank to help strengthen their math skills as well. And then the other component that I've also created is state specific in Arizona, just some other tools and resources to help instructors. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback regarding that. I'd like to be able to add more as I bring on more states, but it's a work in progress. It's a work in
You're
progress.
doing amazing work, Vicky. Amazing
Thank
work.
you. Thank you. And then as far as the skills are concerned, I have the skills, and then if there's any critical steps, bolded items, I put them on the skills video itself to highlight that this is a bolded or a critical step. I also have a section in my skills videos where it says notes, and in there I put in pearls of wisdom. Oftentimes instructor, I mean it's actor setup, how the actor could be set up, some hints and key information for the instructors to know. And when I'm able to disclose, and my contract with my former testing company allows me, I put in additional information in there. Anything that I can do or put in there to help out. And then, of course, the skills itself, the steps I add there as well. Add as much as I can just to the skills videos. And there's a lot of information on there.
Yeah, and for those of you who may be just tuning in and may have missed it, Vicky not only taught CNAs for 10 years, but she also used to be a exam tester. So she was on the other end, the students would be coming to her and she would be the one determining whether or not they actually pass their skills exam or their written exam and so forth. So she is coming to you with knowledge straight from, I don't know, horse's mouth, whatever terminology you want to use. But she has
Yes.
that knowledge.
Yes. I think the other thing also, as on that side, as a test observer side, when I was a test observer for headmaster for 10 years, what I found is when I was testing students, I could tell that they had been very well prepared by the instructors. They gave beautiful care. Unfortunately, they failed the test because the instructors failed to prepare them to pass the test. And I'm not saying that we should teach to the test because that's not all inclusive care. That is not safe and competent care. As I said before, there are three legs to CNA education. One is the theory component, which comes out of the book. The second is the practice part, which is the hands-on and the clinical component. And then the third component of CNA education is how to pass the test. And if we fail to assist or fail to prepare the students in any of those three sections, I think we've done them a disservice. And it's the same with the NCLEX. I mean, NCLEX is very different. Those NCLEX questions are so different than what the students are often going to see in real practice. But I said, this is the NCLEX world, and you have to understand what the question is asking you and not say, well, I would do it this way. And when I was in clinicals, I would do it this way. And I saw a patient in clinical. I was like, no. This is NCLEX world. You have to just think about it. What are they asking you in this particular situation, and what are you being tested on?
Yeah, so true. There was something you said that made me want to. Oh, you mentioned about the highlighted parts or the bolded parts. And for those of you who are watching that are new and have not opened up a CNA school yet, whenever the student is doing the actual skills exam, inside of the handbook that you'll receive that kind of helps you gear the students into what steps they need to do when, there's usually a bolded section. Okay. That bolded section means that they have to do that step. They cannot miss that step. And if they do, is an automatic fail. Okay. Some steps may, you may be able to intertwine some steps and move them around, but those particular bolded or highlighted steps have to happen or else the student will fail. So that's what Vicky was referencing when she talked about that. We have a question here. Hey, Victoria, thanks for joining. Victoria said, after your students have tested, do you ask them what questions were asked to help you with test prep for your classes? I'm going to answer that question and I'm going to let Vicky answer that question. One thing that I know for sure is that depending on the state will actually, or not state, the testing body. The testing body actually sends you a letter in the mail to tell you, and I know this for a fact with Pearson VUE, what student took the test, what parts they failed on, what skill they did not get right. They send you this quarterly, and so you have the ability to look at that to do a self-assessment. Unfortunately, quarterly isn't enough. I think they might even do it only twice a year. It's not really enough. So, yeah. Vicky, what has your experience been?
They don't provide much feedback with that. It's an evaluation. I think they do it for a student at the end of each test. I think that's what the question is. I might be on the wrong track here, but after the students are done testing, they are given an evaluation to asking them about with their testing experience. So that's one aspect. And then the other aspect is when the students get back their test results. The student is able to see whether they passed or not. They're able to see the areas of strength and their areas of weakness for both the knowledge test and the skills test. And here in Arizona, I can't speak for other states, so forgive me, but here in Arizona, the training programs have access to all that information about how the students tested or performed on their test. So if they see consistently that students are missing communication, 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 that's valuable information for the schools because they can go back into their curriculum and say, you know, we need to strengthen our curriculum and spend more time on communication because we're not testing well in that category.
Yeah, it's so important to make sure that you are reviewing through the testing body what you're doing great at and what you're not doing great at so that, like Vicky said, you can go in and revamp every so often. It's so important because sometimes we think we're getting points across, but we're not. Or sometimes we are trying to bring that point home, but we're only doing it in a cognitive matter. We're not stopping to think about, hey, maybe we need to do communication, for instance, in more of a kinesthetic manner, right? So that you can get all learners. So then you have to really, and then there's another component, which Vicky and I talk about, and that's your instructors, right? Are they all doing it the same?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I would say that key points to a strong curriculum would be to write a curriculum that is comprehensive. I would say write a curriculum that's comprehensive, both in your PowerPoints and then any additional information that you're going to add to your curriculum, videos, handouts and whatnot. And then the other component I would say is in your task bank, make sure that you're using tests that are strong and are testing the content that you want them to test and that your state is going to require of them. And recently, I was consulting with a school that their pass rate for their knowledge test was down in the 70s, and she was had to submit a letter of correction to the board of nursing here. And she said what she had done is that got her in trouble was she just took the questions from the test book and from the test bank from the author that she was using and just put them in her test bank and was using them and never vetted those questions. She never reviewed them for accuracy or for content or if it was testing what she wanted them to. And she said that that's what got her in trouble. So she was going back into her test bank and reviewing those questions and revising them and making them more applicable to her program. Because remember, those textbooks are nationwide. They're not necessarily specific to your curriculum in your state.
Yes, very good
And then,
point to bring home because like you just said, some states are really talking big and talking about maybe conversion rate, conversion of and math and stuff, whereas some states don't even hardly touch that. So it's very important. You raise a very good point. I tell people this all the time when I'm consulting too. Every state is different and you want to make sure that you have all the equipment that you need that caters to what your state is requesting and requiring. So you bring up a very valid point.
And then to touch more upon your point about instructors being consistent, you really want to make sure that all the instructors are teaching skills consistently. However, you're going to do that, you're going to have an in-service, or how are you going to monitor that? Because that's one of the biggest complaints I received from my students when I was in a coordinator or director position at a CNA school is I would get the complaints from students. The way Mrs. Jones is teaching the skills is different than the way Mr. Smith teaches the skills, and the students are now confused. And they had a right to be confused, absolutely. And so we had to finally get all on the same page, and I was overseeing 22 instructors, big program. And so we all had to come together and say, how are we going to teach these skills? What supplies are we going to use? Are we going to use three washcloths for the bed bath, or are we going to use five washcloths for the bed bath? Because even two of those extra washcloths, students get confused.
I
What am
know.
I supposed to do with the extra two washcloths? Did
Yes.
I miss a step? What am I going to say? Oh my word.
You're so right. It could be something that little, it just throws them off completely.
And I think sometimes those of us that are nurses and we've been in practice for a while, we can critically think through these situations and we can say, okay, two washcloths, but I meant blah, blah, blah. Okay, got it, ready to go. So we can critically think we have that level of expertise, but these students are not. They're not there. And I think sometimes that is missed.
No, I
So
mean
I would say,
they're still trying to think, am I doing a bed bath? Like, in all actuality, am I doing a bed bath or is this a modified? And what's the difference? I forgot the difference between a bed bed and a modified, let alone a washcloth. Because we're throwing so much at them in a small amount of time, in a very compressed amount of time. And so to your point, you really got a handhold to a certain extent. You do.
Yes. And the other thing also is they're so fearful of hurting patients. They're so fearful of doing something wrong. Like, oh, if I didn't use those two washcloths, does that mean that the patient's not going to get clean and they're going to get an infection and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh my word, this is just. I think I taught that infectious disease process way too much. I overtaught it probably because you're thinking really way outside the box. So yes, And then I would say also a strong knowledge test bank. Use good questions that you vetted, consistency among the instructors, and then make sure that you give your students a final exam, a comprehensive final exam, and test them on those skills that they're going to see in state board if your state allows it. That's really powerful. We can't just let the students move on to testing without having had used that last opportunity to make sure that they are prepared as in a final exam.
Yeah, I love that. I ensure, and I talk to a lot of people that I consult with, just making sure that you do like a mock skills exam at the end. Whatever you learn that is going to happen in your state specific exam, make sure you try your best. I know you've never been there and you've never seen one, but just try your best to set up a mock for the student. Because I will give you an example. In Georgia, they have five skills that they have to do within 25 minutes. Okay. And the student knows those five skills, you know, like the back of their hand. But when they try to smush that into those 25 minutes, it gets real. So, you know, putting them in that situation makes them recognize, oh my God, I got 5 minutes left and I still got two skills. You know, it really puts them in the mind frame. And had I not done that, they wouldn't have had that and they would have failed, even though I know that they're
Exactly.
confident. So very, very good point.
Yes. And I also find that I, in my program, I made sure that I gave them the final exam after they cl completed clinicals. And the reason I did that, and that was strategic, because after clinicals, they brought back to the classroom some very inappropriate or incorrect techniques. And they said, "Did you know, Professor Castile, that the CNAs don't always wear gloves when they change a brief?" I'm like, "Oh my word. I do know that." And they don't sometimes they don't oftentimes wash their hands or use hand sanitizer, and they don't they fed patients that were laying flat on their back, and so they just saw some very poor practices in clinicals. So that's why it was so necessary for after clinicals was done, then I would have to have them retune their mind to now passing the exam based on what's in this textbook. I said, "I don't want you to answer the final exam questions based on what you saw in clinicals. I need for you to answer the exam based upon what you see in this textbook right here. And as far as the skills test, I need for you to demonstrate these skills based on this handbook right here that that you learned. So reset, pretend like clinicals never even happened. You never saw your CNA not washing their hands after doing pericare. Forget about all that." I said, no, you're going to be tested in a different using proper technique." So that's why it was so important, because I know that other programs, they test the students before they give them the final exam before they go to clinicals, and then
Wow.
they finish up clinicals, and then they go ahead and send them to state exam, and those students don't generally do, they struggle.
Wow, I would have never thought to do it that way, but I'm sure some people do. That's a good point, you know, in order to make sure that they're ready for clinical, I guess. Okay.
And my
Good
students
tip.
have wanted to, with some students, sometimes my students have given me comments on my course evaluation. "I would like to do the final exam, then go to clinicals, and then graduate right after clinicals." And my instructors have also given me those comments as well. "Why don't we?" And when I explain to them why we don't, they're totally on board. "Well, now it makes sense. Yeah,
Yeah.
we don't want to do it that way."
Good knowledge. Good knowledge. Okay, so I'm going to start wrapping this up. You guys who are with me still, please go ahead and type your questions in the comment section so that we can ask them and address them and see what Vicky's responses are. While everyone's getting their questions ready, Vicky, how can people reach out to you? What is your website? Tell us how people can keep in contact with you.
Okay. All right. Do you want me to put it in the comment box here?
Yeah, put in the comments, but go ahead and speak it because I'll be turning this into a podcast later.
Oh, okay. It's www facets, and that's FACETS healthcare.com. And they can ask for a free trial. I'm happy to provide if I'm not providing a test prep in their state. As far as videos are concerned, I'm happy to give a trial so that when I do get to that state, they can kind of have an idea of what the when I do get to that state, what the videos are going to look like. And the knowledge test, I think the knowledge test would be valuable no matter what state they're in. So I'm always willing to give a free trial, and I can give as many free trials as that program needs. For example, if they have multiple instructors, I'm okay with that. I understand that multiple instructors oftentimes want to see the product, and I'm absolutely on board with that, and I'm happy to provide a free trial to as many instructors as need be.
Okay. Anything else we should know about your products or services?
I'm so happy when I hear positive results from schools and students, because I just don't believe that CNAs should be minimized, and I think that oftentimes the community does minimize them, and they play such an important role. And I'm so happy that we in this community see them as such a valuable part of the healthcare field. And I'm just really, really happy and proud that we're taking on this mission for
Yes,
them.
you and I are very passionate about it. Do you recommend giving students a weekly test to monitor progression in the program?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely so. I test my students every week, sometimes every day, depending on the speed of the program. Right now, I'm a program coordinator in a school that's, let's see, they're in class from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they're in there for 2.5 weeks, and I test them every single day. Every single day. Yes. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. They're off Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, so that helps them to study. But yes, great comments, Ade. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, in our program, we too test it daily because there's just so much content and little time, and you want to make sure that they're not slacking, they're not falling behind, to ensure that they are up to speed. So thank you. Vicky placed her website there in the chat. So thanks for doing that. So I can use your test bank for the weekly test and the exit exam.
I would say that it's more applicable to the Exodus exam. However, if you get those the exams, I would say that you can take some of those test questions and enter them into your own test bank. They're usable that way, but they're more for the exit exam because they're comprehensive. And for example, communication, if you've just covered the first chapter or so on communication in your textbook, it may not have covered the end of your textbook, for example, communicating with a dying patient. Generally speaking, those chapters are covered towards the end of a textbook, and so I cover it in the communication of a portion of that category. So I think that my tests are more geared towards exit when the students are ready for an evaluation more of how they're doing in their program. But you can pick and choose from my test questions and put them in your test bank if you want.
Thank you, Vicky, so much for taking the time to give us some really great insight on how we can ensure that everyone who is taking all of this time to open up their own nurse aide training programs and get it running, providing them with information so that they can keep it up and running, right? And they
Yes.
can produce the numbers and be the benefit that I know they want to be to their community. So thank you so much for imparting that knowledge. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, and I think with that, all of us in the CNA community are also providing a valuable resource to the employers, to patients, because there's such a shortage, and I think that's nationwide, that's such a shortage of CNAs. And I think that the more we can increase that pool of competent individuals and it's a win-win for everybody.
Yes. Well, thank you everyone for joining. Thank you so much, Vicky Castillo, for joining as well. You guys feel free to check out her website, take a look around, and reach out to her directly. I'm sure after we stop this chat, Vicky, be sure also to place your email address in the chat box as well so that they can reach out to you if they have any questions, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, everybody. I know it's late out there on the East Coast, and I appreciate you being here with me. And I'm happy to help in any way that I can. And Victoria, thank you so much for hosting this session and for being such a gracious host.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good night,
Thank
guys.
you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the CNA Instructor's Secret Cocktail. I got a chance to interview Vicky Castillo, who was a wealth of knowledge to all of us. With her 10 years of experience as a nurse aide instructor, she was able to give us the information we need to ensure that our CNAs pass the state exam. If you would like more information about Vicky Castillo and her services, or if you're looking for someone to help you with your curriculum and ensuring that you have all you need to make sure that your students pass the nurse aide exam, please feel free to visit me online at www.thesecretcocktail.com. There you'll find all the information you need to be successful in starting your own nurse aide training program. Remember, The road to success may be a rough one, but with patience and perseverance, you will always make it to the finish line. I am your pusher, Victoria Randall, giving you everything that you need to be successful. Signing out until next time.